And now Matthew 19. The message today is when that which is perfect is come. I tried to give this message when I was up in Dayton, and my voice was like this. I don't know if it even recorded well, but I'll try to see if I can speak more audibly today. I want to read you several passages having to do with when that which is perfect is come. So Matthew 19, first of all. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. But many shall be last that are first, and first that are last. And now Luke chapter 1. Listen carefully to what the scriptures tell us, and even though, as Nicodemus, when we read them, the question arises, how can these things be? Let us remember that the Lord Jesus spoke, and they came true, and the Word of God speaks, and it shall come true. And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And now look at verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. Miraculous things. But blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which had been spoken to her from the Lord. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. But the things which God foreshowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled, Repent ye therefore, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that had been from of old. Now, Romans chapter 8. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the revealing, the manifestation, the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only so, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And now 1 Corinthians 13. All of these portions have to do with when that which is perfect shall come. And now we're going to read those very words in Scripture. Verse 8. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Again, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And now, chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the straight river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now look back to chapter 21, just one moment. I want you to see about these nations. It says in verse 24, And the nations shall walk in the midst of the light thereof, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Now, look at verse 3 in chapter 22. And there shall be no curse any more, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Look back to chapter 20. I want you to see this. Verse 4, the last part of it. It says, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But notice, in our portion, it says, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for these words that we have read. Our God, who but man inspired by thy Spirit could conceive of such things and could record such things. Indeed, our God, we would think they would be among those things that were unlawful for man to utter, too wonderful for man to hear, but you have recorded them. We remember that the instruction was given, seal not up these words, for the time is at hand. We are thankful, our Father, that indeed depression comes upon all of us to a greater or less degree. And let us know that we look at your creation, and as we've read, the whole creation groaneth together in pain until now. But we are thankful, our Father, that you tell us that there is a waiting, there is an anticipation, and we rejoice in that. And we desire to hear more about it, our God, as we consider these passages, as we go into them and take to heart the things that you have recorded in the Scriptures. So, help our hearts to understand and empower the lips of him who speaks, and give us a profitable, enjoyable time this morning. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You have heard words like these, all is well with the world. But that might have been spoken at a happier time, because if I went around saying, all is well with the world, people with understanding would shake their heads and wonder why I would utter such words. But if I changed it and said that now all is wrong with the world, but in the coming day all shall be well with the world, knowledgeable Christians would nod their head and say yes, and as the book of Revelation ends, they would add this, come Lord Jesus, because all of the promises that God has made to us are bound up in the person of Christ and at the time when he shall come again. When that which is perfect is come, please notice, God tells us that now the world is imperfect. The world is under a curse. But the promise is this, when that which is perfect is come. And so the hope of the children of God is this. There is something that's perfect that God has in mind, and it is going to come. We wait so long for God to fulfill his promises. It says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. And God made that promise of the coming of His Son, the seed of the woman, in Genesis 3. And we wait some 4,000 years before that promise was fulfilled. And so if I waited 4,000 years when God made a promise, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and generation after generation died, and some forgot that promise that God had made, it makes no difference. It was not forgotten by God. And in the fullness of time, as God determines fullness, Christ was born, and that promise was fulfilled. Notice that at times, God makes promises, and the waiting for them is short. Like this, when Elizabeth was visited by Mary, she uttered these words, "Blessed she that believed." The angel spoke wonderful words to Mary, incomprehensible words to the natural mind. But Elizabeth said this, "Blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord." Please notice that the angel Gabriel spoke those words. But Gabriel was instructed by the Lord to come and speak those words. And therefore, even though Gabriel spoke them, they were words from the Lord. And even though the servants of God are fallible men, if they tell you the words that God has spoken, then they are words from the Lord, and they are as certain a fulfillment as if God had spoken the words Himself, because God has spoken those words through His servants. How many look at the Bible and laugh and say, "It's a book written by men." Yes, but holy men of God, they speak as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. And so Elizabeth realizes that what Gabriel spoke to Mary were from God, and there shall be a fulfillment of those things that shall be spoken. So what we have to do is this. We have to look at the promises of God that man waited 4,000 years to experience. But then in some cases, as with Mary, there was only a period of 9 months before the words were fulfilled. But now the Lord Jesus has made this promise, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I hasten to say, Lord, we have been waiting 2,000 years. And He might remind me, when my father said that I was going to be born of the woman and bruise the head of the serpent, you had to wait 4,000 years. And so it makes no difference whether a promise of God is made and we have to wait 9 months or 2,000 years or 4,000 years or 10,000 years. Every promise that God has made shall ultimately be fulfilled. And perfection that is going to come is going to be ultimate perfection, and it is going to be universal perfection. And now, here is something that I may have sensed, but God has to tell me and explain it to me. He says, "For the creation waiteth expectantly for the revealing of the sons of God." It speaks about the whole creation groaning and travailing together in pain until now. And God says that His creation in its entirety is groaning, travailing. And it says that His children, mankind, groan and travail together with creation in pain until, and that time of culmination is the revealing of the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And every man that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so John tells us that the time of realization is only going to come when Christ appears, when Christ is manifested. Now, I want to bring out two words that have to do with the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the introduction of that which is perfect is come. But when our Lord comes, there is 1,000 years of near perfection. But it is not perfection. But it says that when that which is perfect is come, and there is a prelude to it, just like there is a porch to a house, and then you open the door and enter into the house, so is the promise and the fulfillment of God, that there shall be a fulfillment of what he's promised, and that which is perfect shall come. Listen to the first word that has to do with the millennium. Peter is looking back over his life, and he was in the fishing business. But the Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew, they all left everything they had, their livelihood, the material things of life, and they followed Christ. And Peter, after 3 years, thought back over what he had done. And he said, Lord, we have forsaken everything and followed you. What shall we have? And the Savior said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. That's the first word. It occurs only twice in the Bible. Once for the literal millennium, the other one for the new birth. When it says in Titus, it speaks about the word palingenesia. And in Matthew 19, it's the same word. In the regeneration, it says the washing of regeneration in Titus. That is the spiritual regeneration. And the millennium is the physical regeneration of things on earth. Because God intends not only to regenerate man spiritually, but to regenerate man physically as well. To regenerate the earth in a physical way. And to regenerate the heart of man and of earth. But there's more. But yet, Peter tells us this in Acts chapter 3. He talks about the coming of Christ. He came the first time. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this is what Peter says. He said, you crucified your Messiah. He said, but now, repent and turn again, that there may come times of refreshing. And it says that there may develop, that there may come from God, the restitution of all things, the regeneration of all things, the making over of all things. And Peter says the heavens must receive Christ. He has to remain at God's right hand until the restitution, the restoration of all things. So we have two words. We have regeneration and restoration. And so things are going to be regenerated and they're going to be restored. But they are not going to be restored until Christ comes again. And when he comes again, I read to you and I specifically pointed it out that at the millennium, it says, they shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. Well, that's a limited amount of time. But I read to you in the next chapters of Revelation, they shall reign forever and ever. And that which is perfect shall come. The millennium is not perfect. It is a far cry from anything the earth has ever seen, but it is not that which is perfect. Remember, even when God made his first creation before sin entered into the world, it says that God beheld, God saw all that he had made. And this is the comment of the Word of God. Very good. But what God made then was not perfect. It was very good. And understand this. In a relative sense, some things are spoken of as perfect. It says in the Old Testament concerning the Word of God that the Word of God is perfect. It restores the soul. And yet, at that time, it was incomplete. We had the Old Testament. But now that the New Testament has come, it says that Christ has been revealed, and he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so there was the perfection of the Word of God as far as it went in the Old Testament. And now there is the perfection of the Word of God as far as it is gone in the New Testament. But there is a further perfection of the revelation from God, because that is what the Bible is. It is a making known of the mind of God to man. And the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, said, I have many things to speak unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall tell you things to come. And so there were many things that God had to speak, but they were not able to bear them at that time. But when the Spirit came, he guided the inspired writers into all truth, and now we have the completed Word of God. But we still do not know everything perfectly, because it says this, we prophesy in part. We know in part. So as much as the Bible tells us, as much as God has revealed to us through the utterances of his prophets, it says, we know in part. But it says, when that which is perfect is come, then shall we know fully, even as also we were fully known. And so there's much more to be known. There are some things that God has allowed to come into your life. Sufferings, sorrows, wounds, pains. And you say, how can they be? And you will never understand them until that which is perfect is come. You prophesy in part. God has only told you in part. But it says, when that which is perfect is come, then shall we know fully, even as also we were fully known. So that is the first promise that God has made to us. That all of these questions, these unanswered questions that arise in the lives of even us who have the Word of God, the Bible tells us that the answers are not going to be given until that which is perfect is come. And then, when the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, when he appears, when he is manifested, then we shall understand that his promises have not been false promises. have not been promises made that he was not able to fulfill, but we shall understand that his promises are trustworthy and they are dependable, and his promises shall be fulfilled then. And at that time, some wonderful thing is going to happen to us, not only mentally, but physically as well. Because it says, then that which is perfect is come. Suppose that God just made it, that we have minds that understand things, but our bodies are still afflicted with pain, and our bodies are wounded and need attention. How terrible that would be, to have perfection in the mind, but bodies that are imperfect. But that promise of perfection for the body is found in Philippians 3 and in 1 John 2. And it says this, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. It speaks of our vile body, our body of humiliation. It says this, that Christ is going to come and change this body, this suffering body, this decaying body, this body that unless Christ comes is going to die. It says he's going to change that body, and it is going to be like unto his glorious body. And so that means that I'm going to be taken care of physically and spiritually when Jesus comes. Why? Because my body shall be like Christ's body. And the Lord Jesus said, I am alive forevermore. Right now I am a physical body, but in the coming day I'm going to have a spiritual body. That doesn't mean a body that is made of spirit, but like a physical body is adapted to the things of earth, a spiritual body is adapted to the things of heaven. And that's the kind of body I'm going to have. And so when I get to heaven, my body will be in perfect conformity with my mind, with my knowledge, with my understanding. And that is when I, as a Christian, will experience that perfection. Please understand that at that moment, you will get no better body. You will get no better understanding. When Christ comes, it shall be the portion of those that are believers in him. But there are better things still for those that are enjoying the millennium, but they are not those that belong to Christ. There is something more for them. Because at that time, God is not yet creating new heavens and a new earth. We have to wait for the fulfillment of 2 Peter chapter 3 until that day. Creation is waiting for it. And here is something that is amazing. It says concerning Christ that of his kingdom there shall be no end. Just a moment. I think I need some water now. Thank you. And this is something that is so remarkable that I had to read it and think over it again and again. But it's the only conclusion to which I can come. Now you listen to it. It says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And it says that when that which is perfect is come, there shall be no more death. When the new heavens and the new earth are created, when the old creation is burned with fire, melts with fervent heat, and the new creation now is displayed in its fullness, it says there shall be no more death. But it says that concerning Christ, that he shall reign forever and ever. And of the increase of his covenant, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. What does that mean? It means that his kingdom shall not end. And also to the extent of his kingdom, there shall be no end. No end of it as to how wide and great it becomes and as to how long it endures. And this is what I found, that if you read in Revelation and in Luke 1 and all the scriptures, you're going to find that when death is no more, still on earth, not the church, but those nations on earth and the nation of Israel that's living and believing when Christ comes back from heaven, they are not going to die. And after God creates new heavens and new earth, no one after that shall ever die again. And Christ's kingdom shall be populated by new ones coming into the world. And for the first time, when children are born, they shall not be born with sinful natures, but they shall be born God's children. You check this out with me. And you say, but wait, if you have thousands being born, well, where will they dwell? Why, there has to be death so the earth will have room for all of those that can live there. Let me ask you this. Where are all of those who have been born but have died? You say, well, their bodies are in the earth, and where are their souls? You say, why, they're in the place where those that are unsaved abide, and eventually they will be in the lake of fire. Yes, but will they be conscious and alive? You say, yes. Well then, anyone created in the likeness and image of God never ceases to exist. And that is what is going to happen in the coming day. That those who are born so that Christ's kingdom shall have no end, they shall never die. Why, think it is so humorous. If God prepared this earth for us, that a few of us could live here for a while, I've been told that there are billions and billions and trillions of worlds out there. And so I think there might be space for those that shall be born in a coming day. But there's so much more that I could tell you. The time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that that which is perfect shall come. We cannot conceive of such a thing, but you've told us, and it shall come to pass. So let our hearts rejoice, and let us set our hope perfectly on the grace that is to be revealed to us at the coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.